It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland.
Let's see. Diana says she's a military chick, or was. She says, yes, people have been getting out of the military on the gay clause for years, and if that doesn't work, you can eat your way to freedom. She says, Uncle Sam doesn't tolerate fatties. Well, fantastic. 503-733-2970. You can also email it's Rick@RickEmerson.com. Let's quickly solve this Sudafed question, then we'll join Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. This is Jennifer. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. I have bought it. I'm an Oregon resident. I've gone up to Washington. I've bought it and brought it back.
So now when you would go to Washington buy Sudafed or whatever it is, that would they ask for your ID?
Yeah, and you can only buy, like, two, you know, they put a limit on what you can buy.
Right.
But, which is fine. I mean, I'm not buying it for, you know, bad reasons. I don't mind that. So I just think it's just crap that we have to have a prescription now. I mean, it just drives me nuts to have to drive over there and get it. I mean, we can't. It's not that long of a drive. It's easy to go over there and get it.
Well, the whole principle just irritates me, especially because, like, if the whole thing is just, I mean, there's no point in bitching about it, I guess, but especially if the whole thing is just because they're trying to track who buys it or how much they can buy so they don't make meth with it, it seems like that could be solved just with the business of getting your ID and putting your name in the book.
Yes, and from what I understand, I think that this prescription business is working to some extent that the meth has gone down, whatever, yada, yada, but it'll always be there. So I don't think that that's going to solve the problem.
Yeah.
If I'm an upstanding citizen, I want to go give them my information and go get it at the Costco down the road for me. I don't think that should be a problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what they're getting around by doing this, but you can get it. You can be an Oregon resident.
Excellent.
And head on up to your local Walgreens, whatever you want
to
get.
I would like to announce them that I'm going to be loading up on Sudafed tonight in Washington State. I don't care who knows. Thank you, Jennifer.
Take care.
There you go. That's Jennifer. Fantastic. Yeah. Down with the man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and revelator.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The cops get shot at. A man runs away, but they get him.
This all started around 5:20 yesterday afternoon at Southeast 39th and Holgate. Police say during a major traffic stop, a passenger jumped right out, fired a couple rounds at the officer, then took off. Luckily, nobody was hit. Police detained the driver of the car and another passenger. Then police did not return fire because of the number of innocent people in that area. Immediately following that shooting, the cops quickly set up a perimeter, closing off area streets, making sure residents were safe. And then they looked for the suspect who had taken off. Some people were evacuated. Then CERT was called in. I guess it's kind of like SWAT, but it doesn't sound as serious. CERT sounds more like a breath mint.
I was going to say, CERT is sort of a cop, but it leaves you with a fresh minty glow.
It does. Well, they were called to the scene to assist when it got dark, and police used a helicopter with a special camera to try to locate heat signatures. In the end, it was a resident of a nearby apartment complex who tipped off the cop, telling them there was a man inside. They went inside and arrested this fellow. He's 24-year-old Nicholas Ramon Anuskevich, a foreigner, apparently.
That explains it.
When he completes his, court date, you might want to think of changing that name to something more American.
Well, especially because he'll probably be arrested again in the future at some point. And we'd like to be able to pronounce his name the next time he goes through the system.
Right.
All right. So, first of all, let's address a couple of things. A, what is it? They didn't return fires. There are no innocent people in that area. Let's be honest. Everybody in Southeast Portland is getting...
Everybody's worth saving.
It's not true. It's not true. Well, they'll try to lie. Kids, Logan, if you're at home sick listening today, don't believe it. All human life has value. Nonsense.
That's what they thought last night at Southeast 39th and Holgate.
Nothing could be further from the truth. Most human life is pointless and a waste of everyone's time and air. So the idea that they're being really careful in Southeast Portland because they don't want to shoot anybody nearby, I mean, the odds are like 2 in 3 that the people they would hit nearby were probably going to commit a crime at some point anyway.
They would interrupt a drug deal, I would think, and bring out somebody in Southeast.
It was just so freaky that I'm walking my dog, and like a block away, there's just dozens and dozens and dozens of police cars. And Sneeden texts me, and he's like, I'm trying to get to Trader Joe's. What am I going to do? And I'm just like, I don't know, dude. I got nothing. But there's a new Trader Joe's at Tennis Board.
Okay, Chris.
There you go. Just go to Tennis Board next time.
We don't have that much crime over there.
Take that four-hour trip out to the suburbs. And so, but did they pull this guy over? Was it a traffic stop or something?
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, so there you go. So I guess they detained him. But Laura did want to point it out. I'm sorry. Someone I know wanted to point it out that there's apparently a crazy house near there, right? 39th and Holgate. Not the Alzheimer's Center. There's an Alzheimer's Center there. But it doesn't seem like they're causing too much ruckus. The Alzheimer's people are pretty much just a whole lot of smearing of fluids at that place. The outside of that, though, I guess next to, like on 36th and Holgate or 37th and Holgate, she noted that there is a, there's some sort of, it's just a house for guys who have no impulse control and they're just nutty, but they're not old. So it's like 30-something nutcases. So he may have come from there. He may just be a nut bar. Who's to say? Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. He's in a small cage now being hit with something. So he's not our worry anymore.
Fantastic.
Well, up to Troutdale we go, where Danny Bristol and Lawrence Miller decided they needed some beer, as many people in Troutdale do. So they called each other and decided to meet at the Troutdale Plaid Pantry. It's a mini market, a local gathering spot. The only problem is, and police say they didn't use home telephones or cell phones to contact each other. No. They used stolen two-way radios taken from the city of Troutdale.
Fantastic.
And since the radios were tuned to official frequencies...
Let me guess.
Troutdale police heard every word loud and clear. Yes, Bristol and Miller arrested the Plaid Pantry. They never got that beer. Police say they're the main suspects in a series of vehicle break-ins that resulted in loss of power tools, generators, welders, and, of course, some two-way radios.
We're really stupid. Over. Yeah, we should have been smarter than a crew.
All right, there you go. So that's a problem. It just works itself out. Fantastic. I love it when things like that. I love it when there's just sort of a nice closing of the circle feel to some of those stories.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
So out to Washington we go, where there's politics aplenty today. As Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez said, mistakes were made in the dismissals of several prosecutors, but rejected calls for his resignation and said he let his chief of staff resign.
That was nice of him.
Uh-huh. New York's Chuck Schumer alleges, guy's been in the news a lot lately, Chuck Schumer alleges an abuse of power and misuse of the Justice Department has occurred.
As all the evidence makes clear, this purge was based purely on politics to punish prosecutors who were perceived to be too light on Democrats or too tough on Republicans.
Was that alliteration intentional?
No. He has a hard time reading stuff.
This purge was purely political to punish something who persevered politics, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, there you go.
Meanwhile, leftist radicals editor Dianne Feinstein said the firings established a dangerous precedent.
Dangerous for objectivity, dangerous for proper law enforcement and proper prosecution.
You know, I don't believe she shaves her legs or her nether region.
Probably not.
I'm just saying that's the kind of person we're dealing with there.
And she likes to go au naturel.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
Some people like that.
Mm-hmm.
The president is in Mexico for 2 days of talks with Mexico's president. Oh, they got a new one here. Felipe Calderon. I thought there was somebody else, like President Michael J. Fox.
Give it till the end of the day. What did happen to that guy?
I don't know. All of a sudden they have a new president.
Yeah, Vicente Fox.
Where is he?
I don't know the answer to that. You're right. He was the president the last time we checked. What's this guy's name?
Felipe Calderon.
Isn't the Calderon the center of a volcano? That's kind of a cool name. Maybe he was a wrestler at some point.
It might have been.
The next president of Mexico, we ought to make it a law that we'll prop up their stupid economy and their imploding government. As long as the next president wears a wrestling mask, Strong Bad style. The next guy who's the president of Mexico. Didn't they borrow like $100 billion from us? Or whatever, pesos? Whatever.
I think so, but they paid it back.
Really?
Yeah, they actually paid something back.
Where did Mexico get the money to pay us back?
Mexico has a billionaire. I was reading about the third most wealthy fellow in the world.
Yeah, but he
next to Bill Gates.
He probably didn't pay it back, though. If you were a billionaire, why would you continue to live in Mexico? Do you think, like, if I won the lottery, could I continue to live where I live?
It's California without cars, basically.
It's California without cars.
Same people you see in California.
That is true.
No. They're just heading in the opposite direction.
And all the chiclets you can chew. What was my point? So Mexico, they paid that money back? What, did they rob another country?
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't ask.
Mexicans robbed one of their neighbors so they could.
And don't forget, they sent help to the hurricane victims.
Yeah.
And they sent a burrito truck all the way from Mexico to feed people in New Orleans.
I don't even know if you're making that up or not.
No, it's true.
They sent a burrito truck, really? How many burritos could a truck hold?
I don't know, but it was there for a while.
Okay.
So they did help.
There you go. All right. Anyway, so we ought to prop up their economy as long as the next president wears a wrestling mask and then hits people with chairs every now and again. Okay, so this guy's president.
Right. So the president is visiting this new president, and he said there's a touchy issue between the two neighbors and a controversy, a flashpoint. He actually said that? Well, we'll find out what he actually said.
The United States respects rule of law. Except but in the debate on migration, I remind my fellow citizens, family values do not stop at the Rio Grande River.
You've used that one before. And he's in Mexico talking. Okay, you can't address your. He's in Mexico, right? And he's saying that my fellow citizens. You're not in the United States. You're in Mexico. And what is he talking about?
I don't know. He just pulled out a flashcard and hoped everybody understood.
It's from seems like a. You know what he is? He's like a really terrible improv group, where they just give him. Okay, you're in Mexico. You're next to the president, and you've got to use the phrases human rights and Rio Grande. Go. And then he's just got to freestyle that, and that's why he ends up with his gibberish that makes no sense.
He knows that scores of poor Mexicans pour across the U.S. borders. Well, at least he knows that part.
If there are decent, hardworking, honorable citizens of Mexico who want to make a living for their families.
Okay. Well, that's enough out of him.
Then we have old President Bush. He was in a California hospital. Officials at Eisenhower Medical Center, that sounds expensive, says Bush was admitted for dizziness and dehydration while golfing in 94-degree heat. Hours after being released from the hospital and joking with the nurses,
mm-hmm.
He made a few funny.
And the ugliest part was my dear friend from Las Vegas, Sig Rogich, was giving me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And he had about six beautiful girls there, and there was Sig doing his part.
I miss in the morning. Speaking of that, Marine General Peter Pace, one of the country's top military officials, says acts of homosexuality are wrong. According to the Chicago Tribune, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says he supports the president's and the Pentagon's don't ask, don't tell policy.
My upbringing is such that I believe that there are certain things, certain types of conduct that are immoral.
Sounds like he's on Radio Moscow. Yes, bigotry, apparently not among them. Apparently, bigotry is entirely and totally moral.
Mm-hmm. Certain behavior is not right.
I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral, yeah. And that we should not condone immoral acts.
The best part is how, if you read the Bible, Jesus never once mentioned it at all, ever, 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 in any way, shape, matter, manner, or form.
Oh, you got to read the Dixieland Bible. You're in the wrong one.
The Hick Bible. Also, can I just note this because I'm 10 years old? I find it hilarious that a guy who's opposed to homosexuality is named Peter, first of all, and that he is, I swear to God, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. So,
there you go.
There's my dumb phallic humor for the day.
He's not done yet. He says moral behavior of any kind will not and should be not tolerated by the military.
If we know about immoral acts, then we have responsibility. I do not believe that the armed forces of the United States are well served by saying to our policies that it's okay to be immoral in any way.
You know, the real irony of this guy is this guy really does foster a lot of homosexual behavior because when I hear somebody like this speak, all I want to do is just hold him down and just grope him repeatedly while having somebody do his hair. I don't know why. It's just, nothing would give me deeper satisfaction than just to pin him to the ground and dress him all in pink while kissing him lustily. I don't even know. I don't even know what he looks like. He's probably hideous. Doesn't matter. Just makes me want to go salivate all over him. All right. Well, there you go. There's whoever that nutcase is.
He's out of the military.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. It's hard to believe that things are going badly because we're apparently such a moral barometer. We're apparently so well equipped to choose between right and wrong. Oh, this email says, Mexico did not pay us back. We forgave their debt so their economy wouldn't be crippled and the people would have to descend and the people would have decent paying jobs so they would stay in Mexico. And then he signs, it worked like a charm, didn't it? Yeah, I, okay.
All the pinata making moved north.
Seriously, all that entire, it's an entire country whose economy is based on stubby children selling you little packets of gum for 15 cents. That's it. That's like 85, like if you were to look at a pie chart of the Mexican economy, 85% is dirty-faced children coming up wanting to sell you Chiclets. And the rest is just a guy selling you, like, bad porcelain, like Superman cookie jars. That's it. That's all of it. And that business gets crippled every few hours because the guy has to roll up his blanket and run away from the cops.
Okay. Meanwhile, this is Brain Awareness Week. And experts say that a person's religion or ethnic group can be a big effect on how one is treated and not treated in a brain injury. Dr. Roxanne Pritchett of the Psychology Department of the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. All right, then. Says that doctors need to be sensitive to people's beliefs when it comes to treating brain problems.
It's important to find people who are understanding of that particular culture's religious beliefs and cultural beliefs and try to be better at explaining how a fall 10 years ago could have an effect on a person's, say, ability to speak or remember words.
Let's just call this what it is. Some people are just really, really stupid and believe that things are caused by small demons living inside your body. Is this what National Brain Awareness Week?
It is, yes.
I was going to ask why it is that you needed to worry about somebody's cultural beliefs, but that's, she clearly wants to dress it up in some, I hate the phrase political correctness, but she clearly wanted to dress it up in some sort of nicety. But that's obviously what she's talking about, right? People right. who are really dumb and think that it's a great, like, eagle spirit god that's punishing you for something.
Right.
Not the fact that Johnny got hit in the head with a crowbar.
Yes, the immigrant population suffers the most when it comes to brain injury.
Besides underdiagnosis, translation difficulties, I think a lot of problems lie in, I guess, long-term understanding that every single brain injury is different and therefore the treatment for every brain injury is unique.
All right, well,
nobody cares.
Whatever. I don't care. Really, it doesn't matter to me.
Their problem.
I was going to say,
learn how to express your brain injury in English.
Yeah,
you injure your brain, learn about it. The language of the country you're living in.
Wait, hold on. It's like a Windows shutdown message. Attempting to care. System is unable to care. Please click exit now. All right.
Well, Stardust is now just dust. Yes, Stardust Hotel in Las Vegas opened in 1958 as the world's largest resort hotel. Now it's no more. It was imploded early today in a hail of fireworks to make way for Boyd Gaming Corporation's $4.4 billion mega resort, the Echelon. Hundreds of people party beneath tents and makeshift patios before Boyd chairman Bill Boyd, say that to Bill, his four grandsons pushed the plunger to detonate the building. The blast generated a massive dust cloud that chased the revelers into cars, buses, nearby casinos. It hurts, we cried, said Sheila Navarro.
The whole thing infuriates me.
It's very hard for me to find another casino to go to. Obviously, she's never ventured down the street. It's very hard for me.
I don't know where I'm going to go. There's only 900 casinos in this two-block radius.
The casino opened on July 2nd, 1958, filling itself as the world's largest resort hotels with 1,032 rooms. It was credited with being Vegas's first mass-market casino. They're making all this stuff up. Thanks to cheap rates and lots of leading food and drinks.
All right. Well, here, the Stardust is most famous for? The Stardust is most famous because it was the casino run by Lefty Rosenthal, as depicted in the movie Casino with Robert, the Scorsese film, Casino. They don't call it that. They call it the Tangiers. But it's the Stardust. That's where he was based. If you read the Nick Pileggi book, Casino, they actually just call it the Stardust. And you will note, by the way, that the first couple times he mentions the Tangiers Casino in that movie, they play the song Stardust in the background. That's also the song they play over the closing credits. I don't understand why they do this. It's like when they blew up the Sands. This whole thing makes me so angry. I know this is like this is an American problem. I know that people in other countries have
Kazakhstan.
People in Kazakhstan have many problems. Social, economic, and Jew. And apparently brain injuries caused by gnomes living inside your stomach, or whatever the hell. So I know that this is a uniquely American problem. But if you can't, let's go back to the Sands Hotel for a second. If you can't make money running the Sands Hotel, you ought to get out of the money-making business. If you can't make money running the hotel that the Rat Pack performed at, in Vegas, I don't understand why you're allowed to keep your business license. I also don't understand the deal. If we can all fundamentally agree that casinos are the same, they're all the... Okay.
Not so in this one. It says, Mr. and Mrs. America could have a steak for $2 and see Frank Sinatra for the price of a drink.
I can feel myself getting disproportionately angry about this, so I gotta rein myself in a little bit, except to say this. And we've all been to Vegas, right?
Yes.
Okay. Scotty's a big Vegas enthusiast as well. Here's the thing. I will draw one distinction between casinos. There is Old Vegas and there is the Strip. That's it. That's the only difference. All the Strip casinos... I mean, they've all got different sort of shticks. Like there's the Paris or the Parisian or whatever the hell it is with the Eiffel Tower inside, and then there's the MGM Grand, and there's Caesars, and there's the Luxor and all that. And they're all dressed up in different ways, I suppose. But at the end, they're all the same. I mean, every casino...
That's just packaging. I mean...
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Same slot machine, same sad person sitting there with a cup of change next to them.
It's like porn, you know? You can blonde, brunette, miniskirt, high heel, fishnet, whatever. It's all the same. Just dressing up the same thing over and over again. And so all of the Strip casinos are effectively the same once you get inside. It's all shrimp cocktail for $2.99 and loosest slots in town. That's it. Now, there's that. And then there is Old Vegas, like Fremont Street, which is where I go. That's where Laura and I stay, just because that's what we prefer. Featuring, by the way, the finest casino in Las Vegas, which is the El Cortez. And if you've been at the El Cortez, you know what I'm talking about. And Binion's and Fitzgerald's and Four Queens. And there's that. So there's Old Vegas and there's New Vegas. That's it. But within those two distinctions, they're all the same. So I don't understand exactly the point of blowing up the Stardust and building another casino when it's going to be exactly the same thing. The whole thing is just mystifying to me. I don't understand that at all. The whole thing is just infuriating. So, well, whatever. I'm done. I'm done being angry about it. Let's do one more here and we'll take a break. Although that doesn't seem likely, does it? Let's do one more here and we'll take a break.
Well, children at a home in a Omaha neighborhood are terrified to learn the man was running naked through their home. The grandparents of the family were watching the house when the parents were out of town. The family dogs alerted them to an intruder. Authorities say 21-year-old George Buzicki was found running naked by police in the basement, hiding in a small utility closet, and was arrested for the burglary. His clothes are found a block away from the residence. Mike Mullen, the grandfather of the victims, questions the motive for this crime.
And he had to have intention to take his clothes off and walk a block and pick this particular house. And he broke in here and he's nude. And I doubt that his motivation was to steal the silverware.
Saturday night in Omaha.
And because it was Omaha, you know he was hideous. You know he was all pockmarked and fat. All right. 503-733-2970. 503 is... Four Queens? What do you mean it's in Back to the Future? Scotty is saying that the Four Queens Hotel is in the Four Queens Casino? I think you're making stuff up, Scotty. I don't think that's true. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Maybe. No, that's, I think you're thinking of Back to the Future 2, where Biff owns a casino. I think that's the second one you're thinking of. Well, all right. We got to take a break here. We'll come back. More of Tim Riley around the corner later on. Dennis Pitzenbarger will also have Jim Roop from Los Angeles. Top five. Oh, and we'll get to this list of complaints by Blue Hairs against this very network, against CBS. I got the FCC CBS complaint. Somebody was good enough to send us these. Don't go anywhere. Back after this is the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Thanks for coming along. Coming up later on, seeing the radio correspondent Jim Roop, top five, also Dennis Pitzenbarger. And we'll get to this pile of FCC complaints, and we'll see about whether you can time travel or not. Why did Aaron send this to me? Is this video of the...
It's the worst thing ever.
This is among the worst things I've ever seen. I don't even want to describe this. Okay, I'll just...
I told you not to watch it.
But you know that when you say not to watch something, that I got to watch it. Okay, I'm not even going to describe it, because that's no fair on the audience. I'm just going to... I'll post it later. That's the worst thing I've ever seen. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Sherry's is ditching trans fats. They're opting for trans-free soybean cooking oil at all its locations. They use 800,000 pounds of cooking oil for frying annually.
It's your best restaurant ever.
And it shows. Just hang around the entrance. See how many people they can squeeze into those booths.
Seriously.
Open 24 hours.
I don't understand the point of restaurant. There are certain restaurants that aren't all about health anyway. It's not like anybody goes to... you go to Sherry's because you've either just got out of church or because you're some drama nerd and you're going there like 1:30 in the morning and you've just closed your run of the Guys and Dolls, or you've just come back from seeing the Rocky Horror Picture Show for the 1,000th time. Those are the people who go to Sherry's. Or you're old. If you're old, who cares? You're old, eat, drink with abandon. Doesn't matter. You're closer to the end than the beginning. Just live life while you're alive. There's certain restaurants that ought to be unhealthy.
Meanwhile, there may be some discouraging news for the fish of Oregon. Yes, there's problems with the salmon, but it's not too late to help these fish, say Oregon's chief of fish.
Chief of fish? Is that
we can help them survive even better by making changes in how we manage rivers and how we manage development and how we manage hydropower right now.
Jim Martin is in charge of all the fish.
He's the chief of fish. Okay.
You can help them through these rapid climate changes. Oh, this is an Al Gore thing. Because it's not yet too late to save Oregon fish.
The issue isn't whether we can preserve every single population of salmon. The issue is whether we can still have some functioning salmon in our region. And I think the answer is yes.
No one cares. No one. What's that? Let me revise
it. The fish do.
I don't care.
You're a fish.
The fish want to live. You know, they can solve that problem on their own. They can take care of that themselves.
New York City wants to ban metal baseball bats, especially during their high school games. Apparently, they propel baseballs faster and further than wooden bats. They're also a little more dangerous.
If the game is a little bit slower, with a wood bat, for the safety issue of the kids, I think maybe the ball might travel a little bit slower. But me personally, being on that mound and seeing the difference, pitching for 22 years, I could see the difference.
Yeah,
I guess you can't smash somebody's skull as much with a wooden bat as you can with a metal bat.
I'm with you. I automatically assumed it was some sort of like hooligan violence thing. I guess the aluminum bat is easier to hose off after you've been out beating cripples to death with it. So, all right. Well, there you go. So, don't move to New York.
Meanwhile, the Iranian government is accusing the U.S. of trying to portray their country's ancestors as dumb savages. This is in the movie 300, apparently. This is where you find Iranian dumb savages, if you wish to do so. Javed Shigamungi, a cultural advisor to the Iranian president, is a crazy man, tells the BBC that the film is guilty of plundering Iran's historic past and insulting his civilization. That's a civilization. And an attempt at psychological warfare against Iran and its people. These are the people that pulled that dead man out of the caskets.
Yeah, no, they're all kinds of civilized over in Iran.
That's their culture, apparently. We're attacking Iranian culture. There's been no response at this time for the filmmakers behind 300. The movie earned $70 million last weekend and set a record for a March release.
The biggest March opening ever. Now, I feel like it's cool that I haven't seen it, but now, and as I said, it was sold out Friday, sold out Saturday, and then by Sunday, I was just like, well, screw this. I'm going to wait and see it at Cinetopia. Mm-hmm. But I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to do that, because my week is all busy, and I got these free passes to Cinetopia that are just sitting right there in my refrigerator. I'm waiting to use them. So, but it's probably one of those movies where you can't use the free pass regardless. Anyway, I'm going to try to get to see that this week. But I don't think anybody this room has seen it yet, but as I understand it, 300, I think there
are these 300 dumb savages.
I don't know, Tim. I suppose that depends on one. That depends on one. It's really not like Iran is like a tremendously advanced country at this point. I mean, let's really just, can we just call a spade a spade? I mean, Iranians, it seems to me that Iranians are not really even living in the 17th century at this point. So, and you're right. That was that funeral on television.
Yeah.
Where that guy was.
Yeah,
the guy was
in the casket. Dead man out of a casket.
Like kicking him around like a beach ball at a fish concert.
That's what I was thinking.
Firing automatic weapons into the air. They do seem like a deeply stupid people, let's just say it. So, who cares? I don't care about the Iranians. And
well, I do think cat lovers love Persian cats.
I suppose. I haven't seen 300, but as I understand it, there's like scenes where like guys are riding winged pegasuses around, or pegasi or whatever. Yeah, there's like this, I don't know if there are dragons or not, but I think that there are all kinds of fictitious creatures and minotaurs or whatever the hell. So it doesn't really seem like it's a historically accurate picture in the first place. And secondly, it's a goddamn movie. And thirdly, just shut your mouth. Shut your mouth and just be glad we haven't blown you up from orbit yet, since that clearly is on the American agenda.
Maybe they need a visit from Barat.
Yes. That's exactly what they need. Ah, good God almighty. All right, there's Tim Riley.
There's been another elimination in the new season of America's Next Top Model. Last episode, 19-year-old Samantha was kept from the CW competition for not showing enough confidence. The Alabama native thinks she is just misunderstood.
Probably should have spoke up a little bit more in panel, but for me it was more of a respect thing. Like, I'm not gonna like cut you off like when you're trying to tell me, you know, what you think I've done wrong or, you know, what I should improve, especially when you've been in the business,
especially,
you know, longer than I have.
No, she was really annoying.
Yeah, I'm picking up on that.
Yeah, she was like 18 from, I don't know, Hicksville, and just
nothing says hot like Alabama native.
Oh, man, it's just so boring to watch.
Southern girl, I know that there's this whole stereotype about Southern girls and farmers' daughters and whatever being hot, but they never are. Southern girls, you always think that they're going to be hot, and then they're always just sort of,
you know, they cook with lots of lard.
They're always just sort of buck-toothed with waxen skin.
She had enormous eyebrows.
Really?
Yeah, like some of the biggest eyebrows I've ever seen.
I've never seen America's Next Top Model. Laura watches it. I don't.
Oh, it's so awesome.
Is it like American Idol where they deliberately pick some people that are just cows and that they're never going to make it all the way through?
No, well, most of them.
Somebody been like missing an eye
the
or something.
The past two seasons it's been like all anorexic girls. This time they do have a couple plus-size models because Tyra's been on her whole rampage about, you know, about the weight thing. It's awesome. It is the trashiest, it's the stupidest show.
Now when you say plus size models, are these
they're like normal size?
Normal size. These aren't like more, but these aren't whales.
No,
they're not like really fat.
They're not fat at all.
They're chicks that I would find attractive.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Hey, never mind. Stopping now. Interrupting myself. So they don't have on that show like reverse ringers, where it's like a girl with like a big like a burn victim or something. Like
no, American.
You know what they ought to have? They ought to have a pretty on the inside. They ought to have an inner beauty pageant. Didn't they do that in Arrested Development? Didn't maybe enter we should totally do that. An inner beauty pageant. Never mind. Let's never do that. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a model Samantha says to be a good model, she needs to get...
To be a waddle?
A model. Well, it was a combination of good model. And the words didn't separate.
All right.
A good model, she needs to work on getting out of her comfort zone.
He doesn't have to break down some walls, like as far as, you know, if you aren't comfortable, you're going to have to... Sometimes you have to do things that you don't necessarily portray in real life, but you need to for the picture. And I kind of now have realized that...
Like wearing shoes.
It's like, just go back home and just commence with your inevitable pregnancy and your scratch off hobby. All right, this is
drink eating.
Go have some rinds. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Len saw the 300, and people are way too sensitive. They just got to get over it. You know, the Iranians or the Persians, they weren't called Iranians, they were called Persians, but they were portrayed as the more advanced civilization over the Greeks.
Yeah.
That was the big story, that's the most advanced civilization in history, up to that time, attacking a bunch of goat herders.
If that's true, I wonder where they lost the thread. They got derailed at some point then in the past few hundred years.
Yeah.
Something went awry, I think, with their plans to maintain some sort of advanced development over the rest of the world.
They pointed out in the movie that it's the same problem they're having now. It was a bunch of smaller kingdoms forcibly put together with the head guy keeping them in charge. And when he left, it fell apart into a bunch of little battling kingdoms.
Yeah, clearly,
so it's the same as, you know, exactly the same as it is now over there.
Clearly, the only answer is for the United States to go in and start putting up a Starbucks everywhere.
That's true. That's what you do. Uh-huh. But the winged creatures you see, they don't have any winged creatures. But what they do is they portray the Persians, you know, battle elephants and things like that as a creature that the Greeks had never seen before. So you're seeing it from the Greeks' perspective of what they were told it was going to look like.
Now, do they... Oh, that's an interesting concept.
Oh, it's excellent. It's excellent.
All right, so you give the movie a strong thumbs up.
I would give it a B+.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's Mike. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, moments ago, U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez held a news conference because everyone's mad at him and wants him to quit.
He acknowledges, yes, he made the mistake, but he's not going to quit. He's going to let his subordinates do so.
I believe fundamentally in the constitutional role of the Senate in advice and consent with respect to U.S. attorneys, and would in no way support an effort
seems to be happening
to circumvent that constitutional role.
Missing a couple floors.
It's not me. Where was that noise coming from?
It was either from you or Tim's computer.
I'm not touching my computer. I'm doing nothing. What is he? I don't even understand what he's apologizing for. What mistake?
For orchestrating the firings of several attorneys for political purposes. Apparently, there's a ballooning scandal going on. They want him to step down. Abuse of power and misuse of the Justice Department.
Well, who cares?
It's just politicians, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's just politicians doing what politicians... The first thing I would do would be to abuse my power. I abuse the power I have now, and that's almost none. I have an office. First thing I did, put up a giant picture of my own face. That's it, right there. Can you imagine what I'd do if I had actual power? If I had any sort of, like, real clout? I'd have people killed. I'd do that now if I could. So, whatever. Go ahead. If you know, that's the point of power. There's no point in having power if you can't abuse it. All right.
Well. He promises to make changes for the benefit of all.
And my pledge to the American people is to find out what went wrong here, to assess accountability, and to make improvements so that the mistakes that occurred in this instance do not occur again in the future.
Well, you know, I consider myself a pretty plugged in guy, but I don't even really know what he's talking about. So he really ought to just be sweeping this whole thing under the rug. Do you think Johnny Lunchbucket has any idea what this guy's talking about?
No.
Tim's in the news department, and I work 5 feet away from him, and I don't really know what's going on. So, there you go.
Let's talk about something everyone understands. The clock is ticking for analog televisions. You know, if you have analog television, is that going to be any good? As of midnight, February 17th, 2009, unless you buy something called a digital converter box, your TV will be useless if you're one of those rabbit ear TV viewers. No one knows how much these boxes, which have yet to be produced, will cost, but the government will help you pay for them, at least until the money runs out. The reason millions of TVs will be rendered obsolete is a government mandate for broadcasters to convert their signals from old-style analog to new-style digital.
Is there really a pressing need for this?
Yes.
Okay.
We want overweight news anchors to look more overweight, and those balding to look even bolder.
I would say, other than being able to point out the flaws in other human beings, I mean, it's not that I'm opposed to technological advances.
Like you're not looking forward to that.
I don't want
to... Everything's going to be stretched to look longer.
Maybe I just...
And some things would be good.
What?
No, I'm not saying anything.
You started to say something in there, and then you sort of like...
I forgot my train of thought.
Okay. I mean, I hate to sound like I'm just being like, am I getting old? Is that it? Is it just me? Am I getting older? Or is this really a thing that no one else is interested in? Do you know what I mean? I don't care if I have high-definition television. Maybe I should. Maybe I'm supposed to care, but does anybody here have HGTV? I bet Scotty does.
Oh, of course Scotty does.
Scotty has
it. The one in his shower.
He has HGTV.
What about that digital radio stations, those hidden radio stations?
Scotty actually is the only person I know, other than our general manager. Mark Whalen has an HD radio that I think the company, not this company, but I think the company that makes them, I think it's they have some deal with CBS, and it's like, I think it's a lot of some sort of corporate commingling or whatever. Maybe he'd pay for it. I don't know. He's got one.
I have a wind-up radio.
A C crane.
So I can listen to local news broadcasts at night if I'm running.
I have a crystal, so in the event of a national emergency, I can hear Laura Ingraham reruns. In the event of an iodine leak in Portland that may kill us all, I can hear the best of Michael Savage. Anyway, Mark's got an HD radio, and Scotty. Now, Scotty, did you pay for your HD radio? You actually bought it? Did you go and you bought it at the...
Tom Likas told them to do it. Come on.
So you can hear Tom Likas' stool. I never get tired of that.
There are 15.4 million television households in the U.S. that receive over-the-air signals only.
But see, first of all, I don't believe it's even that much. Although I said that last time, and Kristen from accounting said that she just does the rabbit ears.
Roughly 66 million U.S. households subscribe to basic cable. 32 million of those have digital cable.
I got to say, and this is true, and I was mentioning this before we went on the air today, that Lara and I are really seriously thinking about getting rid of cable television. We really are. And it's not that I don't watch TV. It's that, like, who has the time? B, There's just 100 channels. It's more than I could ever watch. I mean, I like the... If I could just buy... Because you can't buy...
what you want? A la carte?
A la carte, can you?
No.
Yeah, see, because what I want is FX. I want FX. I want HBO. I want the Discovery Channel. I want the History Channel. And then there's like some crap chick channels that she'd want. You know, she'd want like whatever, oh, whatever the hell. You know, but the other stuff, just screw it. I did 100 channels and I'm paying $100 a month for my cable.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what it costs, I think. I'm pretty sure that's what it costs. I don't, I know that I'm a dumb guy. I don't do the finances myself. I just give her my checkbook and she takes care of it. But now, to be fair, it's because they give us our internet access too. But still, I mean, that cable television isn't cheap.
Well, that's cheaper. That's cheap. I'll have to even more than that.
Well, then it must be more than that.
I have a bigger house than you do.
Thank you. thanks so much.
It's stretched over three floors.
Thank you. If I could just buy like the five channels I wanted, but I can't, and so I'm just paying through the nose for all of this crap that I'm not watching. And then there's Netflix, and there's the internet, and there's, I just get the feeling that I'm just every month. This is not a knock on the cable company. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to knock their service. If I was at home more, or if I was unemployed again.
Don't wish for that.
God forbid. I just think if I was unemployed, not that I'm asking for that to happen, if I was unemployed again, when I was unemployed, I watched TV all the time. I had TV, and as Isaac Chaffee would say, TV and a stack of books this high, and that's what I did. I watched TV, and I read, and I took the dog out, and it was great. But right now, there's just no time. And it's like even this Eddie Izzard thing I didn't get watched last night. I still haven't. I still haven't caught up in the fourth season of The Wire. So I don't even have time to watch regular television, and much less be dumping a bunch of money into an HD TV. Now, I'm not even really sure that I would be able to tell the difference. Like if you put an HD broadcast and a regular HD or a regular TV broadcast next to each other, I'm not even sure that I would know which one was which. So, this is, let's see, Scott, you're on the Rick
Emerson
Show. Hello.
What's up, Rick?
What's up?
Hey, I can tell you why the government is mandating that all broadcasts be switched over to HD.
Okay.
It's where they can broadcast their propaganda and their, their mind control, like, more clearly and efficiently.
So it's with greater clarity.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. All right, thanks. Thanks so much. Let's see. This is Paul. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, the reason the attorney general is in such a hot water is because they didn't fire all the assistant attorney generals when they took over. That's typically what a president does, is he just gets rid of all the appointees.
Yes.
Which an assistant attorney general is an appointee. Bush kept them all, and now he's replacing a few. Unlike Clinton, who got rid of them all and replaced them.
So he didn't fire enough people. He only fired the ones that he thought needed to be fired, and that's why he's in trouble?
Yeah, but now he's doing it now instead of when he took office so many years ago.
You know, that's just stupid. Who cares?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a way for the Democrats to say, hey, what are you doing this for now?
Yeah, the Democrats make me want to hurl. They really do.
Yeah, they kind of both do.
Yeah, seriously, today it's the Democrats. I'm sure it'll be the Republicans tomorrow. Today the Democrats make me want to hurl. All right, yeah. Thank you.
You bet, man.
That's Paul. All right, so there you go. Well, in any event, you got it. Okay, guess how much Scotty paid for his television. Who wants to guess? Tim? Scotty has a 65-inch HD TV. What do you think he paid for that?
$2,500.
No, it was only $1,000. He noted it's
not fast.
$1,000.
Well, he has it.
At Fry's, it was $5,000. Well, where did if it was $5,000 at Fry's, where did you get it for $1,000? But was it at Fry's? I mean, was it discount? So it was a $5,000, $1,000. Maybe I am getting old because the concept of paying $1,000 for a TV, and it has nothing to do with how much money you make or that how much $1,000 for a TV just seems exorbitant, regardless of how much money you have. I think the television I've got now, I think I paid $240 for. Maybe. That has nothing to do. I don't care how much money you make. A $5,000 television just seems retarded. That just
I don't
seems,
get the whole plasma TV and like why it's important to have a flat screen and
almost the new houses are being built for the flat screens.
Yeah, I mean
there's a big alcove over the fireplace. You're supposed to stick the TV in there.
I'm not saying that it's a bad idea or that it's. I'm just saying I don't know. And I am sort of an early adopter when it comes to most things. But that's one of those things I just haven't. I am just not on board with that. Whatever. All right. Let's do one more here. We'll take a break.
Authorities have released a 911 call of the newborn baby that was abducted from a Lubbock, Texas hospital early this week.
How did the baby
What's your emergency?
We have a... Let me look and see for sure. It's a code purple. That won't tell you much of anything. It is an infant abduction. It's happening at Lakeside Hospital, 4000 24th Street.
And this is not a joke?
Now, as far as we know, it is not a joke.
Okay.
So it wasn't a joke.
So what? So that somebody stole
a baby.
Someone stole the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Did they find it again?
They did. They found it in Mexico.
Is Don and Mike trying to? Are they trying to break into our programming?
Nobody's touching anything.
Phone scan.
There's nothing going on here.
Let's pretend that we didn't hear it. Someone stole the baby. It's very sad to say.
So well, the baby's okay.
The baby's okay.
They found the baby. Now the baby is okay. See, I can joke because they found it. It's, everybody finds it amusing. Everybody's, no problem. All right. It's, 503, whose computer is making all of those noises?
I don't know why it's making all these noises. I just have Metro up.
I don't understand.
Wait, that's not Tim's. That's yours.
I think it might be mine. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up. We have Dennis Pitzenmarker from the Fuel Show that's going to join us. He's going to join us later on. I'm trying to find someone ate the baby. I'm trying to find, but I don't know where it went. We have Dennis Pitzenmarker we're going to get to. When we come back, we'll have these... we'll have these FCC complaints, which are great. And by great, I mean terrible. We'll get to that. What else do we have? Well, I guess that's it. And I don't know where my son went, ate the baby went. I was here, and now it's gone. Take a break. Come back after this. More from Tim Riley around the corner. Top five coming up. Likas at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.